You might predict here, because you see synthetic genetic interactions and they are related in sequence, that they're like giga 1 and giga 2. They're homologous products that can compensate for each other's function. I'm going to show you that's not entirely true. So the first indication that they're not entirely the same is when we ask what protein components of clathrin coats do each of these proteins interact with, N3 and N5. This is done, again, by a technique that Ira will go over called co-immunoprecipitations, where we precipitate either N3 or N5 with an antibody, and we ask, do any other proteins come down along with N3 or N5? So when we did this with N3, what we found is that it didn't bind clathrin very well. You can't see heavy chain at all. You can see a little bit of light chain. You don't see any AP1, AP2, or AP3, but you do see giga 2 coming down. That's here. The control is when you do the immunoprecipitation in a strain where you can't immunoprecipitate N3, you don't see anything coming down. So it's specific. When we did the same experiment with N5, not only do we see it interacting with giga 2, but now it interacts robustly with AP1 and also with clathrin. Doesn't bind well to AP2 or AP3, again, consistent with its function in TGN endosome traffic. So N3 and N5 share an interaction partner, gigas, but they also have distinct partners, at least N5 does. We'll get back to that.
What we're going to talk about today is a set of methods, all of which can be applied to asking whether two proteins that we're interested in bind to each other. And all of these assays are applied in the paper that you're reading from Dr. Payne's lab. So let's start with co-immunoprecipitation. So in a co-immunoprecipitation experiment, we're going to ask whether two proteins are in a complex with each other in the cell. And basically, we're going to apply two of the techniques that we've learned to answer this question. So the first, as you might have guessed, is immunoprecipitation. We're going to use an antibody against one of the proteins, let's say the purple protein here, and we're going to couple the antibody to the purple protein to beads, which we can add to a test tube to pull down the purple protein. So we're going to take our cells, break them open, add our beads with the purple protein, and then after a light spin, those beads come down and they drag down the purple protein. All right? This is immunoprecipitation. We've seen it already. Now what we're going to ask is, what came down with the purple protein? Now, how are we going to know if this red protein that we may be interested in also came down in the pellet? Okay, we're going to run it on a gel, and then how are we going to see whether the red protein is there? We could do a Western to see whether the red protein's there. And so what do we see? Let's look at N5 first. So the way to read this is IP stands for immunoprecipitate. EX is extract, that's like your total. That's pretty much whatever was in the cell as you busted them open. And then each one of these rows is a little cropped picture of the Western blot after it's been probed with one of these antibodies, an antibody to clathrin heavy chain, giga 2, clathrin light chain, or subunits of AP1, AP2, or AP3. So what does N5 bind to in this assay? It binds to giga 2. It binds to AP1. Anything else? Clathrin light chain. And actually, if you look, clathrin heavy chain too. Right? This band is very light, but you have to keep in mind that the band in the total extract is also very light. So there is about as much in the immunoprecipitate as what you find in the total.